is they shine with Eretz Yisrael, the parasha, you know. Throughout the entire parasha, Parasha Zekev, there's mentions of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu talks about it in the first Aliyah. It's in Eretz Lesech Zer Kolba. There's nothing deficient in Eretz Yisrael. From Eretz Yisrael, from every mountain you can view unbelievable gifts and treasures. And the parasha ends, Kol Makom Asher Tidrach Kafrach Lechem Boy Lechem Yiyah, that wherever you go in Eretz Yisrael, Moshe promises if you travel the land, you'll be able to own it, to acquire it. No one's going to stand up against you. You should have the confidence to conquer the land. It's all about Eretz Yisrael. So in that context, let me share with you a quick idea when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. You know, Eretz Yisrael, according to Chazal, from the beginning of creation, was established as a holy place, right? It's a place that's holy. Also in the parashah Mereshit Hashana Arach Rishana, Hashem is always gazing at the land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. It's a place of holiness. But we know that Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, for it to really fully blossom and ripen and express itself in full, it needed Klal Yisrael to come to the land. And when that shidduch happens, when Klal Yisrael comes into the land, then Kedushas Eretz really blossoms. And that's when, you know, the agriculture halachas kick in, you know, Chumas HaMaisis, Shemitah, Yovel, these things. So we know, though, that there are two times when Klal Yisrael entered the land, right? There's what we call Aliyah Rishayna, the first ascent with Yeshua ben Nun, Klal Yisrael entering Eretz Yisrael. And that again, when that takes place, when Klal Yisrael enter the land with Yeshua ben Nun, everything, you know, clicks, and you know, the everything gets plugged in, and the land now expresses Kedusha. And then what happened was, obviously, Klal Yisrael were kicked out. Churban Beis HaMikdash takes place, and then we came back with Ezra HaSeifer to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. And those are the two times when Klal Yisrael sort of entered the land. Now, what's interesting is that the Rambam writes in a couple places, that there was a big difference between the Kedusha that took hold of Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua ben Nun, versus, see, there's no camera, you could, like, you know, walk across, it's totally fine. It's like, there's no problem. Yeah, so it's like you're still ducking, you know. So when Yeshua ben Nun comes into Eretz Yisrael with Klal Yisrael, so the Rama Paskins, like this, Rama Paskins, he calls that, based on the Gemara, Kedusha Rishayna. The first Kedusha that comes to Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua ben Nun is Kitchel Shaita. It worked as long as Yeshua ben Nun and Klal Yisrael were there, but like Kitchel Asalavai. But when Klal Yisrael were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, when the settlement of Yeshua ben Nun was disbanded through the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, so the Kedusha that came with it also left. So as long as Klal Yisrael from Yeshua ben Nun until the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, it was Trumas and Maisers, Shemitah and Yovel. But after we left, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, then those things went away. But says the Rambam, but when it came to Ezra, when Ezra resettled the land, so Kedusha Shania is Kishla Shaita. It worked as long as Ezra was in the land. And Kishla Slava, but it works forever as well. So even after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, right, and the settlement of Ezra is also disbanded, the Kedusha still remains. What's the Chilak? So the Rambam writes in a few places, the Chilak is as follows, is that the Kedusha that came with Yeshua ben Nun was because the source of the Kedusha, the cause of that Kedusha, was Kibush. It was the conquest of Yeshua ben Nun, the military conquest, their authority over the land in terms of military power. That was the root of where the Kedushas Arts was coming from. So says the Rambam, no. So when another military power comes and takes you over, so it was Bat. The Kedusha is Bat. But says the Rambam, but the Kedusha Shania, the second Kedusha of Ezra, was not for military might. They didn't have that authority. They were given permission by the Persians to settle land. So what was the source of its Kedusha? So Rama says the Kedusha Shnia was through Chazaka, through people, Jewish people settling the land, simply Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael. That was the source of the Kedusha. And says the Rambam, that's Lo'ilam Vod. All right, so the question Achronim ask is, I don't understand. If the first Kedusha, you're telling me the root of the Kedusha was because of military conquest, so therefore it follows suit, that as long as they had military control of the land, the Kedusha is there. The military control goes away, the Kedusha goes away. So why don't you say the same logic for the second Aliyah, for Ezra Sofer? So I understand, it's not with military conquest, it's with settling the land. Okay, so as long as they're settling the land, that's forever. And when the settlement is disbanded, the Kedusha should go away. after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the settlement of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael was disbanded. So exactly what is the difference? I mean, either case, whatever the cause is, you tell me it's different causes. Whatever the cause is, if the cause goes away, then the Kedusha should go away too. What exactly is the fundamental difference? The truth is, it's interesting to think more about this. It's fascinating because, on the one hand, again, we have to figure what the reason is, but what the Rambam is telling us is that the second Kedusha that came with Ezra was forever. So in a certain sense, that Kedusha is stronger and greater than the Kedusha of Yishuv Benun, right? It's interesting, however, because Chazal point this out. I mean, it's a historical fact, but Chazal point out that Yishuv Benun's conquest came with miracles and open revelations. The Aron HaKodesh was, you know, preceding Klal Yisrael and flattening, you know, it was mamish miracles. Whereas Ezra Sefer, Chazal say, it could have been with miracles. Ad Yavram Hashem, Ad Yavram Zu Knitza, Chazal Darshan in Az Yashir, that the Jewish people could, Ad Yavar, we could have got to Eretz Yisrael the second time, similar to the first, with miracles, but Lo Zechinu, we were not worthy of it. And therefore, because of that, Ezra Sefer and his conquest was without miracles, was not, it was all disguised in politics, and you know, the politicians of Persia worked this out, and it was a hishtadlanus, but it wasn't miracles. And so, despite the fact that Ezra's ascent and Klal Yisrael setting the land with the second Beis HaMikdash is seemingly on a lower level, there was no prophecy, I mean, there was leftover Nevi'im, but it was not with miracles and so on. And Chazal pointed to the fact that it was our fault, we were not worthy of having the miracles of Yishuv Benun, yet the Kedusha that he settles is a Kedusha forever. So it makes sense of that. So it's like this, you know, we have the period that we're in right now is what's called Shivda Nechemta, right? The 7 weeks of consolation, of comfort. And that was preceded by 3 weeks of mourning, right? 3 weeks of Pranius, Telasa de Parinusa. So you have this breakdown. You have 3 weeks of Tsaris, right? Shavas V'tam is until Tisha B'Av. And then you have 7 weeks of comfort, starting from Shabbos Nachmu, taking all the way to Shabbos Shuvah before Yom Kippur. That's called Shivda Nechemta, 7 weeks of comfort. Every week of those 7 weeks, the Haftarah is something about Nechama. So we have to think about that. So obviously you see that L'chaira, that when Tzaras take place, the Rabbanu Shalom sends a Nechama that's even more than double the Tzar. But those specific numbers, 3 and 7, it's fascinating because we know in the Sarang Tashem, those are significant numbers, 3 and 7. 10 altogether, 3 and 7 is 10. 10 is always a number which represents an entire structure, like a whole unit is number 10, right? And then even in numbers, right? After 10, you sort of go back to 1, right? 11, 12. Like, a complete system is always in 10. And so too the human being is a complete system, and therefore we also, every human being is sort of the representative by the number 10. How so? So the story we find that 3 and 7, which is 10 altogether, in the human being, is that 3 always means your intellect. Your intellect, Chachma, Bina, and Das, your 3 intellectual capabilities, that's who you are intellectually. And then 7 represents your emotions and your physicality. Your physicality. So let's say 3 would be the brain, and 7 would be the body. The body. Now this is also interesting. And that means, and this is why you'll find in the Sfar, that the 3 is always higher than 7, right? 3 is always superior to 7. 3 means one's intellect, that's the crowning jewel of the human being. And 7 means the part of you that's more practical. You know, 7 is your vehicle, your mode of transport, you know what I mean? How you move around. But who are you? Your intellect. 3 is always higher. So the question then is, so why would 3 be connected to the Tzaris, and 7 would be connected to the Nechama, to the comfort? Adarabba, you would think that the lower part of who you are, the lower you go, that's where the Tzaris are going to be. But the higher you are, that's where the Necham is. That's where the Rabbanu Shalom is found. So it should be 3 of comfort and 7 of Tzaris. Not the reverse.
We use our intellect, they realize the 3 wasn't the Tzaris.
So, but it is 3 of Tzaris, right? So you have to. So why would the 7 be the Necham for the 3? It should be the opposite. The Tzaris should be found, Dafka, with 7. So, you know, I mean, there are countless stories like this from the Baal Shem, but, you know, one famous story that comes up is, it was by Kiddush Levana. There was a Matzah Shabbos. I don't know what time of the year, whatever it is, it was by Kiddush Levana. Matzah Shabbos, it was time for Kiddush Levana. And the problem was that there was no Levana. There was no Levana. Okay, so you move on, you know. But the Baal Shem Tov sensed during that month that Klal Yisrael needed to make Kiddush Levana. That city, whatever it is, they needed to do Kiddush Levana. There was tsaris hanging over the Eden over there. There would be Ketrugim, and the Tikkun would be Kiddush Levana. And the fact that there was clouds covering the moon, the Baal Shem Tov saw as a very terrible omen. And so the Baal Shem Tov began to daven with Bechias and Tehillim and making Tikkunim and Shemus HaKadoshim to try to bepoil something, and it wasn't working. So meanwhile, it's a famous ma'aseh. Meanwhile, the Baal Shem Tov is doing his inyon, you know, and the other chassidim are outside. They figure out, you know what the Baal Shem Tov is doing. So we're waiting for him. We're not going to leave until he says, you know, it's time to go. So they figured, you know, they didn't make Avdallah yet, so they're not going to be able to drink or eat anything. So they figured, you know, let's just dance a little bit fine. So they started singing some nigunim, and they started to do a rikud for breng. So Baal Shem Tov heard the Febreng and was going on outside, and after just a couple minutes, his eyes open. And all of a sudden, the clouds part, and the moon begins to shine. They make Kiddush Levana. It's a big, big simcha. So Baal Shem Tov said, so everyone was saying, oh, the Baal Shem Tov was able to be poil. So Baal Shem Tov said, it wasn't me at all. Adarava, with all my kavanas, all my yichudim, I couldn't do it. But you guys, just being merakeh, just dancing together and holding hands and just loving each other and just being happy, that was poil, something that I couldn't be poil at all. There is such a thing that, even though it's true, one's intellect is certainly the highest part of who you are. It's your crowning jewel as a person. See, we're getting ready for a Febreng, you know, that's what's happening. So, yeah, right. So, that's the crowning jewel of who you are. But there is such a thing that when a person, but that part of you, that's your brain, you're completely alone. There's no way for us for our brains to hug, you understand? I mean, I could tell you things that are in my brain, and then you could process that information in your brain. And so then, but there's no real connection between our brains. That the part of me, like my intellect, it's not possible for my intellect and your intellect to truly become one. But Dafka, what's interesting is, when you go lower and you get to the lower part of who you are, like your actual hands and feet, they can mamish embrace. And so there's a certain inyan is where Dafka, when you get lower and things become a little bit more simple, that's where real yichud, real oneness between yidden can take place. And when there's real yichud between yidden, that itself is the vessel for the yichud of Hashem to be revealed. And so there is a certain mila. So here's the nekuda. There is a certain mila in dafka, the lower part of who you are, even though the fact it's unsophisticated, uncomplicated, in dafka, because of that. Because it's simple and unsophisticated and pashut, so it's able to become one and to unify with other people that are pashut and simple. And when that achdus between yidden is experienced, then through that achdus, the deep achdus of Hashem is able to come to the world. Whereas in the world of intellect, it's by its very definition, people are divided in that. Just like people don't physically look the same, so we don't think the same either. And because of that, there's a certain level of purity and division. And because of that, there's a certain inability for the oneness of Hashem to become really experienced, dafk in that place of the brain. The real oneness of Hashem is experienced when the brain is somehow connected with the body, and human being and yidden embrace and hug and dance and love each other. That's where the real yichud Hashem can really come to the world, and that's where Yeshua's come from. So just like in that ma'aseh, the Baal Shem Tov is sitting by himself in the world of thought, and he can't be poiled that gilui. He can't be poiled that. But when yidden dance in a way of simcha, in a way of achdus, in a very pashut way, they don't even know why they're dancing, they just are. That tamimus and that pshitas, that seven is able to bring a certain level of Yeshua, a certain level of light and of clarity of truth, of God's presence in the world, sometimes even more than three. And so this is what you also find with Eretz Yisrael. See, Yeshua ben Nun's conquest was with miracles. And that's beautiful, that's amazing. But at the end of the day, if the root of the Kedusha wasn't simply Jewish people living in the land, which is pashut and simple, and everyone, and it's something that's shovel chol nefesh, you know what I'm saying? Like you have a big tzaddik and a big rasha, but at the end of the day, so in terms of Yeshua ben Nun's conquest, there's a difference between the tzaddik and the rasha. It's all with miracles, it's all with understanding, it's all with prophecy, and in that world of the intellect of three, there's a whole hierarchy. But in the world of the seven, there's no hierarchy at all, because at the end of the day, both the tzaddik and the rasha both need a house to live in. and they were both part of the same yeshuv, the same chazakah that Ezra HaSeifer is establishing. And in that way, it's shavu l'chol nefesh. There's no division. There's no in terms of even in military conquest, there's hierarchy. There's generals. There's soldiers. There's lieutenants. There's all sorts of madrigas. That's the world of three. But in the world of Pashut settlement, everyone's the same. Everyone takes up space. Everyone has their daladamas. And in order for all the Eretz Yisrael to be settled, you need every single person to live there, to take up their space. It's shavu l'chol nefesh, and because of that, it's without the unbelievable, brilliant light of Yeshua ben Nun. But because of that, it's so simple. It's forever. It's forever. You understand? It's not able to be broken. In the world of thought, the world of intellect, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But in the world of achdus, in the world of the body, even if you're not into it, you could hug someone. You see, to actually love someone in your brain, sometimes you love them, sometimes you don't. But you could always force yourself to hug him. You know what I'm saying? Like that physical contact, that physical achdus of the seven, of the body, that's something that can always be, whether you're into it or not, in your brain. So in the world of the brain, it's sometimes yes, sometimes no. So it's kitchel shaita, but like kitchel asalavai. Whereas it comes to Ezra Sefer, it's taka forever. So the nechama of these 7 weeks, dafka come from seven over the three. Because that's where the nechama really comes from. I mean, this is why Eretz Yisrael, you know, in our parsha is being described as a place of loisech zarkol, but it has everything there. But it only fully expresses itself, dafka when yidden come, in that way of kol, in that way of everything. When all yidden are b'achdus, that's the real secret of Kedushas Haaretz, that Kedushas Eretz Yisrael really opens itself up, dafka in such a way, where the yidden that come there and come to Kedushas Haaretz feel that I am no greater than the person next to me. I, in the world of intellect, maybe I am greater, in the world of madrigas, I am greater. But that's not Kitchel also, that's not really Kedushas Haaretz. Kedushas Haaretz, which is the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, which is the Kedusha of Yiddishkeit, really opens itself up and makes itself available, dafka to a yid that says, you know what, it's true in the world of brain, maybe I'm different than this guy, but that's not the ikka. In the world of seven, we're all the same. And that's really where Kedushas Haaretz really comes from. You know, there's a maisa they say from Reb Pinchas Karitzer. Reb Pinchas Karitzer was a big, big tzaddik. He was Talmud Chavri, he was a Talmud of the Baal Shem, but he was considered to be, even on his own, a big tzaddik. They say that when the Baal Shem Tov was Nifter, so the Baal Shem Tov gave over sort of three Yerushas. To Mizrach HaMagid, he gave his Torah. To Rabbi Echel Zlotshever, he gave his Kedusha. And to Reb Pinchas Karitzer, he gave his Chachma. So Reb Pinchas Karitzer was known as the Baal Chacham, a big, big brain. But Reb Pinchas Karitzer, at the same time, always put an emphasis, despite the fact that that was his Yerusha's Chachma, he always put an emphasis on that part of who you are, which is Pashit, that part of who you are, which is Shav L'chol Nefesh, which is equal to everyone. So, you know, they say in Maisa that there was one time, like every day, he got a delivery from, I don't know if it was wood or water or something, you know, a daily delivery from the water carrier, the fire, or the wood carrier, wood chopper, lumberjack is called. So, so the mice is that this guy's name was Herschel. So one day when Herschel came in, you know, Pinchas was there with his wife, and he turned to his wife. He said, "You know, I'm so envious of Reb Herschel." So why? He said, "Reb Herschel's bringing the water, the wood, whatever it is, and he's just like he's so passionate and he's so humble because of it. He doesn't think of himself as a big person. I'm so envious of that." You know, they say another mice with Pinchas that he there was an earthquake around his town, whatever it is, and. And, you know, there was a huge hisiris of tshuva. Because of that, people were like, wow, you know, there was a certain... And Pinchas Karitzer felt so tzibrachim from it. He said, because I have Ruach HaKodesh and I knew it was coming. And so because I knew it was coming, I wasn't a spoil from it. But the regular people out there, they didn't expect it. So then when it happened, it had such a huge impact on them. My mom is jealous of that, you know. So you see such a thing, that the brain can get in the way sometimes, you know. Sometimes the pashit, that's in the beginning of the parasha of Hoya, Ekev Tishmon. It was the Ekev Tishmon. That when you're an Ekev, when you're a heel, when you're on the bottom, and you don't know anything. So then Tishman, sometimes then you could get messages. You could have some strength and clarity and be shaken up, as opposed to when you're a brain. So everything you could explain, you know. They say another ma'aseh that, in that there was one, that one of the main reasons why he first traveled to the Baal Shem was that there was a certain town nearby. I guess he lived near a coast or something, near a lake, right? Near an ocean or something. And there was a certain town that there was a huge, like a tidal wave that came and really did a lot of damage to the town. And Reb Pinchas Kartzer was known as a very, very wise person. He was very learned in secular knowledge as well. He was, you know, in medicine and science. He was a well-rounded person, as they would say. And he knew the science of the ocean, oceanography, whatever it is, these things. And and even though obviously it's all Vashkacha Pratis, but a passing thought crossed his mind that, okay, you know, these things happen. Like, that's, you know, tidal waves are part of. And he was so upset over the fact that there was a thought of like Derech HaTeva in this, because of all of his chachma, the background that he had in science. Like, he was able to explain how these things happen sometimes and the mechanics of it. He was so upset that that's where his brain went. Even just for a second, that he said, I have to go to Lashon to get rid of that, you know, that inyan. Not to get rid of the science part, but just that shouldn't be my first initial reaction. So it was always someone that he, like, you know, to be envious of the posh that he had. You know, there's a certain holiness that could only be felt when you don't block the truth by your own chachmas, you know? You know, that's why it's interesting, you know, Pesach night we have six simonim, right? You know, the baits of the egg, the shank bone, the six simonim, plus the seder plate, that's seven. And then you also have three matzahs, so that's seven and three. And where should the matzahs be, you know, in relation to the seder plate? So in the Kisveri, it says that the matzahs should be tachas, it should be underneath the seder plate. And that's what you'll find. A lot of chassidim do this, where the seder plate will literally be on top of the matzahs. You have three stacked matzahs, and then on top of that is a seder plate. And that's something that the Mekubalim had a kasha. It doesn't seem to make sense, because three is always above seven. First you have three, that's the top, you know, the meich and the intellect, like we're saying. And then you have the lower seven. So why by Pesach night would the seven be on top of the three? But according to what we're saying, the answer is that Pesach night is a time of where there's an unbelievable amount of shefa, of amuna pshuta, of tamimus and pshitas, of simple faith that a father gives to a son, of adamin lefar b'mitzrayim, and that pashtas. And in terms of pashtas, seven is more receptive to that than three. The three, which is the intellect, okay, that's, you know, complicated halacha and Torah and madregas. But in terms of that pashtas, that simple Hashem Echad, Ushmay Echad, that's something that's more in the jurisdiction of the seven. So Dafka Pesach night, the seven, has a mile over the three. You know, that's what Eretz Yisrael is as well. It's like I was talking about before. You know, the whole tachlis of Yitzis Mitzrayim was to get to Eretz Yisrael, because those two things parallel each other. The pashtas of Emunah that we receive on Pesach is the Yichud Hashem that we experience with the achdus of Eretz Yisrael. No, so we should be zaycheh to be pashut yid. And when you're a pashut yid, so then pashut good things come to your life. Begashmi zebaruchnis. You should be zaycheh to it.